Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. As homeowners and firefighters in California are learning, preparing for a natural disaster is about a lot more than stocking up on water and supplies. Training matters here. And if you live in an earthquake-prone area, in grade school, you probably had those drop, cover, and hold drills. The question is, though, can you test an entire city? It turns out you can, and that's exactly what they did in Portland, Oregon. The west coast of the United States is overdue for a massive earthquake. Experts say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So to get ready for this inevitable disaster, this summer, officials across the Pacific Northwest simulated their response. With dozens of cities, state and federal agencies all mobilizing their emergency teams, it was the largest event of its kind. Cassandra Perfita from Oregon Public Broadcasting reports on what happened when a simulated earthquake disaster hit Portland.
All right, let's get victim over here.
A firefighter and a National Guardsman are checking for bodies in a pile of crumpled cars at the base of a tower. They pull a dummy out of one of the cars, one of the few survivors of the simulated earthquake emergency. They strap the dummy onto a backboard and hook it onto a set of ropes hanging from the tower.
Ready to hoist victim?
The scene is designed to mimic one of many disastrous situations that would follow a major quake. Matthew Silva is overseeing the operation for the Portland Fire Department.
Basically, we have an overpass that's crashed down. We've got three vehicles down there, multiple victims that are trapped at the bottom of this ravine, at the bottom of the overpass.
To get to the pileup, the first responders had to rappel down from the tower. Now, they need to hoist the patients back up to safety.
Patient ready?
So, I'll go ahead and get started as people file in.
Across town, a dozen city officials gather inside a conference room at Portland's Emergency Coordination Center.
So the people that should be here, we have the Unified Command here.
They're wearing colored vests that correspond to their roles in responding to the biggest emergency Portland may ever see.
Yes. Is everybody here? Mm-hmm. Okay, can we have them go ahead and introduce themselves?
Rich Denhouse, fire.
David Peters, water.
Steve Townsend, transportation.
Their job is to review the situation and direct the next phase of the simulated emergency response. But first, a headcount.
So do we have any finances here also, correct? What is our yellow-vested friend? What
logistics.
Are you? Your logistics?
Yep.
Is there finance in here?
No, that's a green glass.
Yes, are they not? Okay.
Right off the bat, Planning Chief Marty Shaw notes they're missing a green-vested member of the finance team, and the electronic whiteboard isn't working. But that's the least of their worries. He turns to Police Lieutenant Ashton Brewer for a situation report.
The incident summary, I'm not going to read all this. We'll just review 9.0 Cascadia Subduction Zone earthquake this morning at 0800. Aerial reports show widespread damages across the region. Active fires, hazardous materials, and mass casualty events have been reported throughout the city. Streets and roadways are inaccessible in most areas due to downed power lines, trees, road signs, abandoned and damaged vehicles, and building debris.
Now remember, this is only a drill, but the situation is bleak. Almost all the bridges over the Willamette River are down, along with the phone lines, water, and power. Hundreds of buildings have collapsed, and many streets and sidewalks are buried under several feet of debris. Emergency responders can't get to many of the worst-hit areas, and aftershocks continue to cause additional damage.
I think that pretty much wraps up the city status. Chief, want to go from there?
To make matters worse, the group finds they don't even know how many city staffers are available to respond to all the emergencies. They add a new objective to their list. Identify all available city personnel and equipment in the next 12 hours. After the exercise wrapped up, officials reviewed what they learned.
Many people who are the most trained responders likely will not be able to get to work and get to the Emergency Coordination Center.
Carmen Merlot is the director of the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. She says one of the big lessons is that the city will need a lot more volunteers.
One of the things we have to do is to train a larger number of people to make sure we have some bench depth. We really can't rely on a very small cadre of people being exceptionally prepared.
The city has a vision for how everyday people can sub in for first responders when the big one hits.
Let's see if we can get this one to work. Beep.
At an upscale retirement home, volunteer program developer Ernie Jones is training new recruits to set up and operate neighborhood emergency tents.
So it's working. And so it's got an on-off volume knob. That's that. And it's got the channels. Channel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
He's holding a UHF radio, which could be their only line of emergency communication when the phones go down. Portland officials have hidden dozens of these radios, along with other essential supplies, in emergency equipment caches all over the city. Jones says they're counting on volunteers to check on their neighbors and use these supplies when the time comes.
Yeah, it's really important. We know from history that 94 to 98% of people who are helped, saved, or rescued after a disaster are helped, saved, or rescued by their neighbors, not by anybody else, not by firefighters, police, or other professional first responders. And that's not because the police and firefighters and others don't want to help. It's because there's not enough of them.
Jones worked for FEMA during 55 disasters across the U.S. He trains volunteers to be ready for a harsh reality.
You know, we've got 30 or 31 fire stations in Portland, and the firefighters will tell you quite bluntly, big calamity happens. If they can get their fire trucks out of the station, what they're going to be doing is driving down the street in their, what they call their fire management area, the area they're responsible for, and they are going to be seeing where the greatest need is, and that's going to mean passing people on the street, waving, saying, I need help.
Carmen Merlot says the city's neighborhood volunteer program got a boost from the Pulitzer Prize-winning article, The Really Big One, in The New Yorker last year.
The interest has really just grown exponentially, and we now have, you know, over a 1,400-person wait list for these classes.
She says the city now has about 1,000 active volunteers, but it needs 10 times that amount to prepare the city's neighborhoods for the worst-case scenario. For The Takeaway, I'm Cassandra Profita, member station OPB.
To hear more from our urban resilience reporting, visit thetakeaway.org/urban resilience.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.